Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you because you are so good to us, because you have included us in your purposes. You've made us part of a tremendous purpose, which is the body of Christ, the church, which is your body. And what is being accomplished with the church and through your Son now, we have to gratefully acknowledge and remember and ask you to remind us continually of how wonderful this high calling is and how important our walk is, and to take this walk seriously. Thank you for each one here, for this fellowship that we share, and the unity that we have, and we ask that you protect that unity with us. And these things we thank you now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, without further ado, let me tell you what I've been working on Sunday mornings. It was the subject is the walk in chapter 2. We've gotten through the first few verses in chapter 4. And that refers to the unity of the Spirit and the walk that's associated with that, walking worthy and guarding the unity of the Spirit. And now we've moved on to 4 verses, I believe it's 16, 4th, where it speaks of how not to walk. So I'm going to give you a brief review and try to catch you up to some point, and then we will take it from there. So in Ephesians 4, I'm going to begin in verse, let's see what's a good place to start here. I'm going to begin in verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, what we looked at last week is kind of centered around the fact that, well, first of all, we're talking about how not to walk. And so he's telling us not to walk as other Gentiles walk. And so we took a look at that, how other Gentiles walk. And right here in this passage of Scripture, we read about the fact that several things about how other Gentiles walk. And we also saw that that's how these Gentiles, who Paul was addressing, had walked in the past, so he's warning of that, essentially that they don't fall back into that rut. And the issue here was, the primary issue was that they were alienated from the life of God. So we kind of looked at the idea of alienation, and this Greek word only occurs 3 times, and it's in Paul's letters, and it's in Ephesians and Colossians. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul takes the Gentiles back in time. In times past, they were Gentiles, and they were called aliens. And they were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and the things that you read there in 2:13 and I believe 14. Forgive me because I don't have those in front of me. But there was an alienation there. And what does that mean? And then we read over in Colossians chapter 1. That they're alienated in their mind. And I'll turn to that. Colossians. Okay, bear with me. Okay, how are we doing this time? Do I need to completely reboot, or can you hear me now? Okay, yeah, I hate to go through this and find out 15 minutes into it that you haven't heard me for a while. So I'm not sure what to tell you for those who can't hear. Bear with me for one moment. I want to make sure I'm recording here. Okay, so, yes, okay, do I understand that, Doherty, you don't have sound? Okay, hang on a second. I'm losing my Bible and everything else here. Do not have sound. Okay, well, I'm talking. I'm sorry, I'm not talking part of the time here, but if you don't have sound, then I will. I don't know what to tell you. We can either keep going or try to do something else or pick this up another week. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close the room and reopen it. It's going to take a moment to unread about everybody, unless there's a multiple way to do this. Okay. We're trying. We're with you, folks. Bear with us for a second. Okay, so right now, how are we doing? Can you hear me? Okay, hopefully we'll try this for a few minutes. If it doesn't work, then maybe we will try again. Okay, good. So if it's up to you guys, if we want to try to continue or try something else, it doesn't look like this is going to be a good night. And I can do this on... this lesson Sunday morning. If it's not gonna work. Alright, well let's try a little bit. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna ask a question since maybe we will try to continue. Sunday morning is good. It's up to you guys. I think if only half of you are going to get it and we're going to be spotty, then it would be, maybe a better try a different time. I started to record. I've kind of got it on pause right now. But it's up to you guys. I don't know if I want to start over and repeat everything, but we can do whatever you want. Just probably sound goes in and out. So it sounds like there's maybe half and half. Okay. Maybe Gary and me will just have, Gary Dorsey and me will just have a lesson. okay. Let's see how far we can get. I'll record it. So, and I'll change my program. So I'm going to begin. Let's see if you can hear me. You can try. You can try. Okay. I'll give it just a minute here. I think what I'm going to try something. We'll just shorten the program tonight. open it up for a little bit, and I'm going to ask you guys a question, if you can hear me. If it works, we'll try it. We'll see how we can hear everybody else. I'm going to ask this question, see if I can get an answer, and this will be a end here. I'm going to ask a question. If you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And trust me, this has something to do with our lesson. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to read from 14 through 21. Okay? Yes, okay, thank you. Sorry, Gary, you're ahead of me. 2 Corinthians 14 through 21. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay, so first of all, how many people heard that? Raise your hand, please. Did anybody hear that? Okay, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so, okay, well, it's not too bad. So here's the question I'm going to ask. I don't know if somebody wants to post the question, but it's not going to be much value if nobody can hear anybody, or for those who can't hear. So my question is, verse 16, how do you translate, how do you interpret that verse? Would anybody like to give that a shot? I'm going to let go of the mic. Open it up for a second. Because I'll just mention this. So this is something that's troubled me for years, and I've heard several explanations. Anyway, I would just for curiosity's sake, because I'm not going to say there's any bad answer or whatever, for curiosity's sake, how do you interpret verse 16? Raise your hand and interrupt me if you want to make a comment or anything about that. Let me just say this. I can't answer that verse without going through many verses by comparing Scripture to Scripture, and particularly and looking at the very context. I think it's an important verse. I heard a couple of years ago the And he was so, the end of First Corinthians, the subject has to do with resurrection, and it has to do with the return of the Lord. And he kind of picks that up again in 2 Corinthians. So it must have been an issue. The issue being that resurrection was something that these people had apparently had trouble with. Not merely the fact that these people were carnal, but they had trouble with resurrection. And so the first chapter, I'm going to repeat all this on Sunday, I believe, because I want to expand on it. The first couple of chapters, Paul kind of defends himself about certain things that they were accusing Paul of and that kind of thing. And the third chapter, Paul gets into an issue that tells me that he's speaking and addressing the Jewish portion of that assembly. And that assembly, in the first Corinthians, it's clear where Paul talks to Jews and he separates and he speaks directly to Gentiles. But in 2 Corinthians, it's a little bit more difficult.
I get that.
I'll keep recording, but I'm not sure we're going to go too far with this. I think it'd be better if I have an opportunity to have the notes that I didn't complete to do this anyway. And so anyway, in the third chapter, Paul gets into the issue of the new covenant and the old covenant, and the fact that there was a new covenant which was of the Spirit and not of the letter, was associated with the resurrection of Christ. And then in chapter 4, he gets into the issue of resurrection again. And in chapter 5, this chapter, he begins this chapter with two houses, your human body of creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, and so forth. And then he gets into reconciliation. So what's drawn me to this passage of Scripture actually is reconciliation. Looking at the different passages of Scripture which deal with reconciliation. And it just so happens, very good. Verse 8 is definitely a verse that's never completely quoted. Only a couple of words are quoted out of it. And definitely taken out of context. But the issue comes down to why Paul is talking to these people about reconciliation. And so what I'm going to do is probably because of our time's sake and because we have very few people going to hear, I'm just going to point out a few facts about reconciliation. I think I'll address this verse on Sunday morning. We'll have to see we'll find out tomorrow night if Ronnie's going to have a substitute for Sunday morning. If not, then we will begin our class at 8:30 instead of 9:30. And along with that, we will explore, number one, the different resurrections, the whole issue. Reconciliation. The whole issue of reconciliation itself. Here's some facts. The first fact is that only Paul speaks about reconciliation. So you think for a minute, well, what does that mean? Does that really mean anything? Why didn't Peter? Why didn't James, John? Why didn't they speak about reconciliation? It's because they didn't have that ministry. And Paul, in this very context, says that he was given the ministry of reconciliation. And so, the question becomes, okay, why was Paul given reconciliation? To the issue of why Gentiles were alienated. And we went all the way back to the time of from the flood up until the time of Abraham, an issue dealing with Gentiles and how that related to Romans chapter 1 and why those people needed to be reconciled, because they knew God, they didn't want to retain Him in their own knowledge, And we find that God gave them up. He gave them over. I think he says that three different times. And the last one, I believe, it says he gave them over to a reprobate mind or an unapproved mind. So when we look at that whole picture there, we see that the Gentiles definitely needed to be reconciled to God. And now the question becomes, why all of a sudden, in the middle of the book of Acts, is Paul teaching reconciliation? And we're going to find out that Israel, who in all intents and purposes did not need to be reconciled. You say, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Well, we need to find out what reconciliation is all about. So there's several contexts concerning reconciliation in Paul's writings. One of them takes us back to Adam, that's in Romans chapter 5. And then the other two occurrences in 1 Corinthians, which we just read here, we just read a passage that the word reconcile is used at least three times. And we find the same thing in Romans chapter 11. There we find reconciliation is to the world. And so the issue is, why all of a sudden is that possible? Or why does that come about? Well, if we parallel what happened to the Gentiles and how they gave up the Lord, and we parallel the Jews during the X period, we find out that they who had the Lord, their minds became darkened. We'll read that in Romans. We're not going to do it today, but I'm just preparing you for it. They themselves did exactly as the Gentiles did, and as a result, reconciliation is offered to the world. And so that will be an issue that we want to study. And it's going to have something to do with what we're going to read in the book of Ephesians, learning reconciliation and alienation. And in those passages, we're going to see that he uses a different word for reconciliation. And it's going to take a different context to understand. Or we're going to see a different context, and it has everything to do with understanding reconciliation in this dispensation. So I think I'm just going to spend these few minutes in introducing you to that subject. And we will talk about it more on Sunday, and I think I'll be a little bit more organized also. But I also want to answer this, deal with this passage that in verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. First he talks about knowing, which is a Greek word, which is the Greek word iota. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. No man after the flesh. So first he talks about knowing, having no regard for any man after the flesh, or from a human standpoint, we might say. And then he says, yea, though we have known Christ, we have known the Messiah after the flesh, or from a human standpoint, yet now henceforth know we him no more. So I think what I was taught when I was in my early, late teens and early 20s, through the teaching that I was under, was that this had to do with the fact that these people no longer knew Christ as the man who walked the earth, but now they knew him in a different way. And so that brought some concern to my mind, because he's also talking about men that he doesn't know after the flesh, and who are those? And anyway, we want to deal with that because I believe the answer is in the context. And the answer is in the new nature. And the answer is in resurrection as to what is being spoken of here. And who, and here's the question too, who is Paul addressing here in this particular passage of Scripture? Is he speaking directly to the, Jews or the Gentiles or both? And I think we'll take that up. So we have a question here. What does 1 Corinthians 2 say? What passage specifically? And I'll open up the mic.
This is Mike. The last 5 minutes, you said quite a mouthful there. As far as reconciliation is concerned, certainly, you know, did the Jews need reconciliation? Well, you said no. I might take a little bit of issue with that because they're still not reconciled as a nation with the Lord. And, you know, to be reconciled, we have to go into what that means. That means that two parties that were at enmity are now at peace. And so Israel, still to this day, is not, in my mind, is not reconciled to God. God was reconciling the world. You know, he was reconciling everybody. Does that mean if you were a Jew or a Gentile that you believe? No, not at all. Was he talking to Jews and Gentiles both here? I think so. And when he's talking about not knowing the Lord after the flesh, well, the Lord rose from the dead. And then the Holy Spirit was given. And as 1 Corinthians 2 says, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. Okay, so, dang it. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Alright, so Paul came primarily in 1 Corinthians 2 to the Jews. And he was saying to them, I don't want to know anything about you. I don't want to know anything about your flesh except Christ crucified. And that means that he was talking to those who believed in the Lord. And there had to be a change in the ones that believed in the Lord. And that, in fact, as you were talking about, the new nature of the Holy Spirit was dwelling in them. And so, in my mind, Paul is saying to primarily the Jews and some Gentiles, hey, I don't care what your lineage is. I don't care how well you follow after the law. I want to see Christ in you crucified. And that's how I know you. And that's how we know each other, as a matter of fact. If we came together on the auspices of our flesh, we would never get along. We'd never want to know each other. And so I believe that he's talking about men after the flesh. Could have something to do with Israel, but again, your subject of reconciliation, some of the things you said, that seems to have to be explained some more. And so in my mind, though, ones that were believers, whether they were Jews or Gentiles, they were in fact reconciled to God through Christ the Lord. And Paul didn't want to know anything about them except that. And that carries on to today. And so, those are a bit of my thoughts about that. And again, I don't think Jews were reconciled to God. I think that, I believe, I should say, that the scriptures teach that they were following after the law, which didn't reconcile them to God at all. And that Christ was the fulfillment of that law, and that was the reconciliation that God sent. And if you chose the blood of Christ, then you were reconciled. If you didn't, you still were not reconciled to God, whether you were a Jew or a Gentile. So those are some of my comments.
Okay, so you know, it's a little spotty for me. I think I've got most of it. Let me say this. First of all, I don't disagree with what you just said. I think you did not hear what I said. I didn't complete the statement. I made the statement that in the strict sense, did Israel need to be reconciled? And that needs to be explained further. Yes, reconciliation is definitely necessary for Israel and for the Gentiles. The issue is... And we'll deal with this on Sunday because I don't particularly like the situation right now with all the spottiness. But the issue has to do with the timing what's going on, why there was reconciliation that Paul mentions. Remember, Paul is the apostle of the, it's, by the way, it's the reconciliation. Paul is the, he had the ministry of the reconciliation. And Peter and James and those who were apostles of the circumcision did not. So Paul's ministry, this is why I say the timing is important. Paul's ministry did not start until the blindness of Israel began to take hold. And that's when reconciliation was introduced. And we'll deal with that particularly here in 1 Corinthians and in also in Romans. But so let me clarify that. I did not say that Israel did not need to be reconciled. I said in a strict sense. And that has to go all the way back to the time of Genesis 10 and 11 and when Abraham was brought on the scene. Yeah, all the way through Israel's history, they kept rejecting their Messiah. But the Lord didn't give them up. The issue about reconciliation is when God gives them up. And so that's why we're going to see something special during the prison epistles about reconciliation. But so I think this is actually a very deep subject. And I think understanding, number one, the definition of reconciliation and, I think the general interpretation amongst the believers, at least I was, and when I was early in my early days, this had everything to do with salvation. And this has to do with you were right about making peace, but there was a reason that it came in about for the Gentile. The points you made were excellent, and I agree with you, and I don't want to, I hope I'm not misleading you. I think when I use the term in the script, I believe is necessary to understand what was happening between God and Israel. And I want to compare the scriptures, the verses that associate with Gentiles and their alienation, and what was happening to Israel. The very same words Paul uses was happening to Israel, and how they created that darkness in their mind, and that's where the issue comes in, that they definitely needed reconciliation. And I think it's the hardest part, I believe, about the Acts period is understanding what is going on with Jews and Gentiles. And I mean, there's a major change after Acts 28. And the issue of before that time is probably the hardest thing, because I think most people take the things during the Acts period concerning Gentiles and roll them right into after the Acts period. And that's why Paul uses different terms after Acts, and that's why he only uses that term alienated, I believe, after Acts. So I'm saying I'm not disagreeing with anything you said. In fact, I agree with everything you said, and I think I must have stated it in a way that led you to think that I'm saying something different, and I'm not. So I'll let go, sorry.
Oh, yeah, hey, thanks, Barn. I understand what you're saying now, and it could be, you know, the business of Paul having the ministry of reconciliation. It could be a matter of timing, like you said. Of course, too, maybe the Holy Spirit was given Paul an understanding that the nation of Israel. See, I heard what you said, and we're in agreement. So that's great, and I think I understand more fully what you're saying, and it's great. I'm looking forward to it. Could be that that the Holy Spirit is letting Paul know a little bit that the nation of Israel is in trouble as a whole. You know, they began and you know, maybe there were more of them or more unified numbers in Christ. And as they went on, they had to accept the Lord as a whole, as a nation. And maybe that's part of it, that as we go on from Middle Acts to the end of the Acts, it's looking like Israel is not accepting the Lord as a nation. And so just listening to you, I think that's got to be part of it. So yeah, I'm not trying to cause conflict or anything, but I do understand better what you're saying, and I think you've got something going there. So thanks a lot.
Okay, I missed the last part of that, Mike. When you cut off, you said as we go, and then it stopped. So give me just a minute, Gary. I'll pull this up and get the Strong's number.
Yeah, what I said is that as the Acts period progressed, it might have became more apparent that Israel as a nation was not going to accept God, and they had, 35 or 40 years to do it. And that might be one reason why the Apostle Paul was chosen and not the early fathers. And I think that point of Israel as a nation, their leaders, not accepting Christ as their Messiah and having a number of years to do it, and towards the end of Acts it looks like they were going to fail. I think that has part in it. That's just what I'm saying, for whatever that's worth.
Let's just include the preposition apo, apo, to those same words, which changes the meaning a little bit. But hang on a second, I'll get you the actual Strong number here.
I think you got a point, Barney. Just keep on going, and we're going to be listening on Sunday, okay?
Yeah, as far as I don't think I can cover this. One last. And nor do I want to imply that I know what I'm talking about either. Because it's bothered me for several years on some of the things I've heard. And I think let me ask you this. Is my sound spotty? Gary, can you still hear me okay? Okay. Yeah, I didn't have my microphone on, but I'm sorry, Mike, but yours just keeps kind of going in and out on me. So, anyway, yeah, let's take it up when we have better circumstances. And, I don't know, maybe we might want to discuss some things on Friday night. I should be available. So Sunday morning, Ronnie's lesson is normally at 11:30 Eastern time. I believe that was 9:30 Eastern.